StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, as well as the world's number one internet radio talk station, Startup.Radio, the number one program for all tech entrepreneurs. Today's episode is once again sponsored by StartupRaven.com, the best way to get to know and find new investors. You can sign up for early access down here in the show notes. That all said, I would like to welcome the co-founder of ZenJob, Frederick. Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Joe. Thanks a lot for the invitation. I'm doing great and looking forward for our conversation.
Yes, of course. As always, before we get into the into talking about what ZenJob is, what ZenJob does, and what it wants to do in the future, let us first talk a little bit about you. I've realized you spent a whole year in school abroad when we talked before the interview.
Yeah, that's correct. 35 years old, born and raised in Hamburg. And while I was in high school, I had the great opportunity and chance to spend a year abroad, actually, in the US, in New Hampshire, 2 hours drive to Boston. And I mean, for me, it was a great opportunity because some people in school got able to, you know, go to the UK or to spend some time in New Zealand. And for me, that was always my dream to go to the US. Was always fascinated also by sports as well as entrepreneurship, actually. My dad, when he was young, also used the opportunity to work for a couple of years in the US. And yeah, that's why I got the chance when I was 17 to spend a year there.
Okay, there are two burning questions right here. Number one, if you've been around Boston, are you now addicted to Krispy Kreme donuts?
I had a couple, but I have to say my love was more for the Boston Celtics than for the Krispy ones. But yes, especially the time in Boston as well as in the wider range of Massachusetts and New Hampshire was quite nice.
Ah, I see. And that would have been the second question. What was your favorite team? Boston Celtics, National Basketball Association, NBA. I see. And then from what I see, you came back and for whatever reason, you studied law.
Yeah, I mean, the motivation actually was also a little bit driven by my grandfather. He was defending criminals and he was always a guy I looked up to. And I very much liked the way also his logic works and how he uses words. And, you know, math was and still is not really my strong suit. That's also why I thought two birds with one stone. Let's go for this. But always a little bit with the idea to go into the economic side of things with a background in law and not so much of being a lawyer or, you know, pursuing a dream there. I still very much have great respect for that. And I also have a lot of friends actually who went down that road. But for me, it was always pretty clear that I would love to get the opportunity to be an entrepreneur. But yeah, that's why I started in the very beautiful Passau, which is a small city in Bavaria, spending some time in university, but also spending a lot of times in the mountains.
Sounds good. And your grandfather, he apparently was then a criminal trial lawyer, right?
Correct.
Okay, I see. And then you started interning, for example, Exit Capital Partners. You have been entrepreneur in residence with Atlantic Labs. What I also found pretty interesting, next to your, yes, we're getting there, next to your job at ZenJob, you are member of the board of directors of Bitkom. We do have a vast audience here in the DACH region, but I'm not even sure if most people listening to us here from Austria or Switzerland would be able to say what is Bitkom. Since you're a director, can you give us a little introduction?
Sure. I mean, this is honestly also something where I was quite glad to join a couple of years ago. Bitkom is a number one digital union, if you want, here in Germany, and represent huge corporates up to small startups by ensuring that the politicians don't forget about us and that they don't forget about digitization, because especially in Germany, this is often an issue. And that's why I was able to spend some time there also in the board. I'm actually not in the board anymore. Something also I think I need to update on LinkedIn, where I'm sure you grabbed it from. But we are still in a very good exchange with Bitkom, and sometimes joining panels also to represent, obviously, any topic which is related to the future of work. But yeah, that's the Bitkom.
That is exactly the point where we are getting to. Originally, when I first heard the name of your company, ZenJob, I was thinking some kind of platform where you can hire yoga instructors. How did you come up with that name?
That's actually a good idea. I mean, honestly, we don't have a job on the platform, but I can imagine also that lots of students would actually very much enjoy this, either going to those classes or being an instructor. How did we come up? I think there are two stories to this. So first, there is the very romantic story of us trying to figure out what could be a name which represents what we have in mind. And that was, when it comes to flexible jobs, it's always very stressful. Also remembering our studies, we did a lot of different kind of student jobs. I was working for 1.5 years in a startup, for a very small startup, 5-6 people, for mobile espresso bars. But then my other co-founder, Fritz, for example, he did a lot of those very classic student jobs, night auditor at a hotel there, and then carrying out newspapers at another day. And then Gian, on the other hand, he was the one freelancing already in the IT space. So we saw this fairly diverse world of work, but at the same time, every one of us felt this pain. And we wanted to do something where it's very seamless. You have an app, you just go somewhere, you work there, and everything else needs to be handled. And that's a little bit where the Zen was coming from, to be in this balance and to be in this work-life balance. And especially when it comes to easy work, where also sometimes, you know, when you work in a restaurant, the tone might be tough and you are also very happy. I mean, we can relate to this also, you know, when you have done with a stressful shift that you come home. So that was the Zen in the job. And then secondly, we also wanted to find something which works international. We started the company also with a vision to internationalize it. And that's why we very much like ZenJob. The second part of the story, though, is that at some point you sit there with a list with a lot of different words, and you do a lot of those startup bingo stuff with Helpondo and I think Workadoo were other names as well. And ZenJob was on that list as well. And then we also were asking our friends and our first investors what they think. And then also someone was saying, yeah, then why don't you go for ZenJob? And we said, okay, thanks a lot. Then someone also pushed us a little bit in the direction.
I have one question. What was the worst name you came up for the company?
Well, I would say in hindsight, Helpondo, I think, is pretty weak. I don't remember. I have to grab out the list again. I don't remember all of them, but Helpondo was for sure something where we laughed a lot about.
Happy you choose ZenJob. My understanding, you already hinted it, so it's not necessarily a competitor of the large platforms or boards where you can post a permanent job for somebody who graduated from university. It's rather addressing students. How did you come up with this kind of niche idea?
Yes, absolutely right. It's not a competitor to the Indeeds or the Stepstones of the world. But when we screened in the beginning, when we screened what's out there in, let's say, like HR tech or in the HR space, we saw that there are a lot of old players and very young players, startups, trying to establish themselves in the classifieds model, in the commission-based model. And, you know, we thought we can also try, of course, to find our sweet spot there. But what is actually the problem, what we believe is out there? And that's the one I mentioned earlier, is about you don't want to deal with anything. And it doesn't really matter whether that's on the B2C side, so as we call them, on our talent side, student side, or if it's on the B2B side for our customers. if it comes to flexible work, if it comes to someone is ill, someone is on holidays, there is a seasonal peak, Christmas business, summer business. On the B2B side, you just need someone to help you fast, highly automated with good quality. And then on the B2C side, it's the same thing. You know, you're sitting there on the weekend and you realize, shit, I actually want to go abroad. I want to do on holidays. I have a present in mind, or maybe that something is missing for my rent. I really just want to work tomorrow. And that's why we were investigating this space of temp work. So where you do employ the people, because we wanted to automate all of the process behind it. And of course, we wanted to participate as much as we can within the value chain. And we saw, again, you have the dinosaurs. You also have a few younger players, but it wasn't a field where you saw a lot of tech. And that's why we thought, okay, let's start with this very, very heavy tech focus, which is also still there after 8 years. And we went from there.
Mm-hmm. When I go through your website, I see, for example, job offers in retail, on events, and you already hinted like in restaurants, bars, and so on and so forth. So basically, if I understood it right, just checking here with you, you are the owner of a bar and somebody calls in sick and he'll be sick for a whole week, but you have very, very important business, or your most important business is done during the weekend. And so you could go post on ZenJob somebody to cover Friday, Saturday evening. Would that be a case where you can use it?
That would be a case. That is a case. However, also to be transparent, this is a rare case. So what's been happening also the last couple of years, we work with a lot of those huge corporates in Germany, from retailers, food retail, fashion retail, logistic companies, also hospitality, gastro business, and so on. But of course, we also try to really aim for the sexy big whales, I think was the name we called them a couple of years ago, when we're trying to identify again our ideal customer profile. And we very much love to work with those big corporates, of course, also because we're interested in the share of wallet. But at the same time, yes, your example is also a case. There could be a bar approaching us. I think if it just be one bar, one employee, one talent for one shift once every 3 months, then we probably won't do it, at least not now. We do look for scale. But yes, otherwise you're absolutely correct.
And who is then your average customer? So you basically sign a contract with 4 or 5 large logistic companies, and then they have access to your system and their post, not necessarily jobs, but actual shifts. Is it something like that? Or can you be have a student job through the summer also through your platform? Where are the dimensions here?
I mean, first of all, I think you would not post it in the classic way of how you would post it also on a classifieds model. You would rather enter it in our company app, company software, Buchungsportal in German, something basically where all our automation starts. So what was for us and still is very important, tech. Tech is something which is like almost like AI nowadays, right? It's always a term everyone wants to use and know it's important and so on. And we thought 8 years ago, if we really want to build a new player in that field, then we really need to keep our focus, which also means sometimes saying no to customers, saying no to potential revenues, because we didn't invent something new. Temp work is something which has been there already hundreds of years, but what wasn't there before is to have it that tech heavy and that automation heavy. So that means when a company joins ZenJob, they need to accept our company app, and that's where they would place the potential shifts. We would then give this or put it basically in our system, and the automated matching starts. And algorithm based, we decide who should work there, who's most qualified, who wants to do the job, what's the sweet spot, and so on. And when that talent gets matched and the talent applies, we would then say, hey, yes, congratulations, you got the job. They would automatically also sign the contract digitally, no interference from our side. Also, the company doesn't choose the talent. This just happens on very rare occasions, because we say, hey, company, if you have those requirements, it's our job to understand who should come there. And if we do a shitty job, then of course you will stop working with us anyway at some point. But you shouldn't interfere in the middle by saying, you know, for that one or two shifts, I really want to select the people. And then the talent goes to the job, they do check in and check out, they get a rating, they rate the company, they get paid out 50% after 2 days and the rest at the end of the month. All of those steps, they're not just digital, but they're really automated. So we're talking about 95% of our jobs run fully automated through our system. So this is where it's basically a little bit different towards what you would see with traditional players.
I see. And what is kind of the volume we're talking about here? If you do have like a sexy whale, I like this term, coming to you, and how many jobs or how many talents, how many people are they looking for what time frame?
Yeah, I mean, this varies a lot, to be honest. So what we do is when we try to identify if this is an ideal customer for us, then the customer needs to fulfill a lot of different criteria. Often it also comes down to the location, for example. If there is a logistic company in the middle of Germany and we don't have talents there, then we will not do it. It doesn't help anyone, basically. We can't promise. If the B2B price is not sufficient, it will be also not helpful, because at the same time, we want to pay good salaries also to our talents. If the company is just located in one location, it will be more tricky than if there is a parent company with 100 or 200 locations. So this is what's driving the motivation for us to work also with a customer. There is not a specific revenue number, or there's not a specific time frame, because with ZenJob, you can actually also come around if you just need someone for one shift. But of course, at the same time, we look at the prospect and what else is going to be out there for the next couple of months to ensure that we will that we can do enough revenue with that customer.
I see. And the other side, how do you find the students? Do you just post on the boards of the respective universities? What's your approach there?
No, we actually invest most of our talent acquisition costs. They go into paid marketing. So we are very active on Google. We are very active on Facebook, Instagram. We are very active in general, like in social media. But for us, it's very heavily driven by paid marketing, actually. We also thought a lot, and especially in the first 2 or 3 years, about what about being at universities? What about having the party bus who goes around and is in our here purple color, driving around doing some little gatherings, parties, and acquiring talents at the same time? But we then realized, this is all beautiful and great for the brand. But at the same time, if a talent wants to work, they will enter in Google site job in Berlin gastro, and they go and they will look for it. So for us, paid marketing is actually by far our number one channel.
I see. So you want to do party bus and ended up with Instagram.
Yes. And I hope the party bus still comes back, because I think there's for sure, at least, I would love to see that we invest a little bit here and there again also in the brand. But if you are focused a lot on KPIs, what we are, and focus a lot on unit economics, then the party bus will always it's tough for the party bus to compete with paid marketing, where you just spend an euro and you immediately see the exact outcome.
Mm-hmm. I see. So we now get a rough understanding what you guys are doing. In how many cities are you currently present in Germany?
We rather call it a region. So we are in 40 to 45 regions. Sometimes that equals a city. Sometimes that equals a rather smaller region, meaning the surroundings of Munich would be also, allocated to Munich. But you would see us more or less Germany-wide.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I found an article about you from late last year, 2023, and you said you are looking to reach 100 million revenues in 2023. Now 2023 is past. Did you pass the threshold?
Well, I mean, I can't comment on that already, but I can say that also 2023 was obviously also a challenging year for us. That means Instead of focusing so much on top line as we did before, where we were also focusing a lot on profitability and on tech. That started already actually in the beginning of 22, even before Putin invaded the Ukraine. We thought after six, seven years of Zenjob, you know, it's really time also about having that shift, on technology and profitability. And then zack, a couple of months later, also the mindset shifted completely, right? I mean, this was also crazy to see in this whole startup scale-up world and on the VC side, how the investors changed the view on growth versus profitability. And we were quite lucky that we kicked off the process before anyway, and we continue to do so in 23. So that's why we now have those technical advantages like the 95% automation rate. But I think in top line, there is still something to push for.
I see. So it was a miss. I was also wondering when I've seen, when I prepared for this interview, how have you guys been dealing with the lockdown during Corona? This must have been a pretty tough time for you.
Yes and no. That means that in the beginning, we lost almost 70% of our revenues and we were a little bit devastated, as everyone was. And we didn't know where the rest, the revenue is going to come from. And we're thinking about Kurzarbeit here in Germany, a mechanism to ensure that companies can survive and also that employees can survive. But eventually this turned around very quickly. And, you know, in the first wave, it was all about the retail. It was all about the toilet paper everyone suddenly needed here in Germany. And so we were actually very active within the retail space. And we were able to compensate also the loss we had in revenues. Then in the second wave, it was a lot about e-commerce and logistics, which we made a lot of revenues. We actually also grew from 2020 to 21 by 150% in revenues. And then in the third wave, we were also very active with the government. You know, we supported a lot with the vaccination centers, for example. And then we also had Gorillas and Flink. So the quick commerce players where we also supported a lot and still are. So we were actually lucky that I think our marketplace approach was giving us the opportunity also to adapt very quickly. So we gained during COVID. We gained revenues, but we gained also confidence in the resilience of our business model.
And I've been looking what you guys are currently doing, and I've been thinking, what do you want to do in the future? So I was seeing that you already use AI, already is used to evaluate CVs. What mm-hmm. will be the future, where this is heading? And of course, curious, will you provide the same service for full-time jobs?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are two things. So because you just raised the point also on AI, I think when it comes to product and engineering, when it comes to tech, we will always continue to be on the forefront when it comes to HR tech in our space. That means we will, you mentioned already AI also in CVs, a lot of stuff which is happening also within the company. For example, in our customer care unit, we also now use a lot of AI also to ensure that we scan all the right documents in the right fashion, for example. And of course, also to improve even the matching of the talents to the jobs. Outside of this, I think, you know, right now we are also looking a little bit at the macroeconomic climate, and we are very much focused, as I said, on the profitability and to accelerate growth again, and then also to see when the climate is picking up again. And I think when it is, then we will ready and we will be ready again. And what that means is that we want to internationalize the company again. We were already international for a very brief period in the Netherlands, for example. But then also in late 22, we decided with a focus here on profitability that we will stop this for now. But that didn't change the ambition to bring this company international. We raised over 100 million also now in fundraising over the couple of years. And I think it's very clear that we really want to build the number one player in Europe when it comes to flexible work. And therefore, we want to internationalize the company again. We are very much focused on students, but at the same time, we see that this product must be made for everyone, meaning from someone being in school up to a pensioner, staying at home, mom or dad, if you need some money on the side or you just want to do something, you should have an easy app where you can say, you know, whatever kind of job you want to do. And then I think lastly, what is also interesting for us, the length of the job and the qualification of the job. So we already launched a product, 6 to 12 months ago, which we call ZenJob Pro, where we also offer jobs which have longer duration, meaning up to a year, 1 to 9 months, and not just like the, you know, shift based model, if you want. And that is something we also want to continue as a value proposition towards the B2C as well as to the B2B side. And of course, with that also to provide more qualified jobs, to make it even more specific. Let's say, you know, you start your studies and you have the first, second, third semester. You maybe are looking for those easy jobs for the events for a Rolling Stones concert in Hamburg or whatever, helping out in a retail shop. But when you are in the fourth, fifth, sixth semester, and let's say you study marketing and you want to work in a startup in marketing as a working student, then that should be also feasible via ZenJob. And then you're done with your studies. And then maybe you also need your long-term commitment, at least for 5 years. Maybe you want to stay at one employer, then that should be also done via ZenJob. So this is rather something which we want to tackle in the next, let's say, 2 to 5 years. But in the next 6 to 18 months, I think it will be still a lot about seeing also how, you know, everything around us is hopefully changing for the good of it again.
When you were talking about that, I remember from the beginning of our interview, you told us that only on very rare occasions the employer is actually choosing the talent. Could you see a few years down the road, you hiring people for full-time position after university, as you said, just leaving it to you and not being directly involved in the hiring?
It's absolutely an impossibility. I think, you know, one of the things, I think my co-founder also still has it always on his wall in his office. The focus is about staying no from Steve Jobs. I think this is something which as a mantra we were trying to bring to the company, to the management again and again and again, because one of the great opportunities is also one of the big threats. There is a huge market. We're talking about the labor market. For us, it's not also so much about temp work, but it's really about everything which is more or less related to flexible work, to part-time work. You're talking about 50 billion in revenues in Germany, 500 billion in revenues within Europe. So this is already quite huge. And if ZenJob would just, you know, grab a little share of that pie, would be mind-blowing. That's why I think, if you ask me now, I think there is enough to do already with the four different pillars I mentioned before. But still, you are completely right. You know, I think that is the thing what we need to see also every year again and again. What is really the best opportunity for us? Where should we go for? What's the thing also students are looking for? What's the thing companies are looking for? Think about this huge problem we are having in Germany, also within Europe, when it comes to the balance of the labor market. This is going to be one of the biggest challenge, at least in Germany, but I would assume also in general in Europe. How are we going to ensure that we have enough employees on the market? We are failing with immigration of qualified workers. Now, next level, it's not just going to be about qualified workers anymore. It's about workers. It's Arbeitskräftemangel, not Fachkräftemangel, which is already also mentioned by our government. So this is going to be, you know, I think the CEO of StepStone, like a big company from Germany, which belongs to Axel Springer, similar to Indeed, he was also mentioning that this is going to be the biggest threat since World War II when it comes to economic growth, just the sheer shortage of workers. So I think that is something which is this overarching theme, which is also driving us, and everything which can solve a little bit this problem is something we would go for.
That gives us a pretty broad outline. What I really like, and what hammers the point home, that you look each year, the 5-year planning Excel sheets are a thing of the past, at least for companies who don't have a very steady, very long-term business already established. I like that approach. With the approach, you could already convince 10 investors, as you said. You raised more than 100 million in US dollars. Crunchbase is currently showing it as a little bit over 95 million in euros. And amongst your investors are Atlantic Labs, AXA Venture Partners, Acton Capital, and Red Alpine. Well, some pretty well known names here in Germany in terms of VC investors. Are you guys open with all those plans to talk to new investors?
I mean, honestly, right now, also with the last round, which was led by Aragon, a US hedge fund, which joined our company, which made us also very proud, because before, as you said, you know, we had this German-European landscape, which was already great. But now also with a US investor on board, we feel very confident also to continue down the mission in terms of building at least the number one player in Europe when it comes to flexible work. But this also brought us into this very strong position that we are not in the need of money anymore. We have a self-sustaining business. We have enough money on the bank. And I think if we would go and approach investors again, private equity, if we would work with debt or anything like that, then this will be very opportunistic. This could be something which we would try to leverage for internationalization, or if we want to really go hard on M&A, everything related to that, it could be an option again. But I think otherwise, we feel very confident with this broad board of investors, as well as money on the bank. And I think that's why we are always happy to have conversations, but it's not anymore like in the early days where we also really needed money from time to time again to ensure to survive.
I see. You have all those investors, and at one point down the road, they are looking to get their money back. In one interview, you talked about an IPO. Is this still a mid to long-term goal of yours?
It's for sure a valid option. You know, that's also one of the reasons why we converted our company at the end of last year to a European stock company, an SE, to ensure that we have all of the possibilities in the future. Of course, also to ensure that we are in a very professional setup also when it comes to later stage investors, to private equity. But also to have the opportunity, you know, I think when we started the company, there's always the romantic idea also as a founder that at some point you can ring the bell, whether that's in Frankfurt or on NASDAQ or wherever in the world it makes sense, to ensure to, you know, bring the company to the next level, to open it up also to public markets. There is a great advantage though, which was, I think, not out there 10 or 20 years ago. The private markets are so heavy with money that if you are successful as a company and you need money, you don't necessarily need to go anymore to the public markets to open up for new investors. So it is an option. And I think also something, you know, as I said, from a romantic point of view, we still very much like the idea. But I think this will be just something we will judge when it comes to it.
See. And the last question, actually pretty funny for what you guys are doing. Are you, as ZenJob itself, you have something around 300 employees, I do believe.
Yes.
Are you yourself looking to hire great talent in the future?
Yes, we do so right now. We do it way more, let's say, I don't know, cautious, if that's the right word, but we are more deliberate on what we are doing, who we are hiring. I think also a big learning for a lot of scale-ups from the last couple of years is no one wants to end up again also in a situation where you hire too much and then you realize revenues or profitability is not going there in the same direction. So that's why we do so in specific areas, like in product and engineering. One third of our employees are in product and engineering. As I said, right, tech is very important for us. So there's always something where we will continue to hire. I think right now we do also hire in sales, but this also can change again, right? This can't change in a year. Let's hope this changes sooner than later, because that also will mean an uprise also in the macroeconomic climate. And then we would look for even a broader range of talents. But right now we are looking for everyone who's, you know, eager, hungry. We have for values here also at ZenJob, being hungry, being helpful, being humble, and being honest. So if you fulfill those four criteria, right, then please join here on the homepage and check it out, the open positions. But yeah, so this will be, I think, the mix for the next couple of months.
Or alternatively, you can go down here in the show notes. There's a link to our blog post, and there we will also link the ZenJob career site. Good.
Sounds good.
Frederick, it was a pleasure having you here. Hopefully we'll talk in the future again, maybe 1-2 years down the road, and then see what you did with your tech stack and changes in AI and HR in the future.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Totally my pleasure. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.